Good evening, everybody. How's everybody doing? Kim is under the weather, so we have some guests sitting in. I guess let's go around and say hi to everybody and introduce them. We have Gig Work Mama. Why do I always go the wrong way? I know to go to the light. Gig Work Mama. We have Gary Zaps on the far side. We have the Driven Dad below. And then right below me, we got Mad Dasher. You guys might not be familiar with him, so check out his channel. It's going to be in the show notes. Check out his YouTube channel, but you may want to check out his TikTok channel as well. I'm going to play one of his videos here. He said it was cool. And then we'll say hi to the chat, and we'll kind of move into this, you guys. It's good to see all you guys. What's up, everybody in the chat? We'll get to you in just a second. But let's see what you guys all think of this.
We have all these certified bangers and no one to deliver them. Who's gonna be able to help us?
Did somebody say certified bangers? I heard you need some assistance with some certified bangers. How can I help?
Oh, hey there. I didn't see you there. Mad Dasher here. Hope you're enjoying your weekend so far and you had a great Friday. Today, we are back to making money.
I don't know why. First of all, you guys, he's on TikTok. That's where I grabbed that from. And that's where I first noticed his videos. And for some reason, every one of his videos, and I don't even think his channel's that old, but every one of his videos was coming in my feed even before I followed him. And he was a new channel. So it's weird because I've been on TikTok a while and that's pretty rare. So I was like, why do these keep coming in? And I was watching them all. And so now, you know, like I don't know. I really like his TikTok channel. I have subscribed, but I have not checked out his YouTube channel yet. Just haven't had the time, but I've probably watched all the TikToks that you have. And so I don't know, man. I don't know what you're doing on YouTube yet. I'm gonna get to it, but I have seen that you've seen, you know, like long version or more longer version stuff, right?
Yeah, that was just the intro to the main video on my page, actually. I don't know why I'm getting recommended so much. I have been kind of blowing up on it. I've only had my YouTube for about 2 months. Mm-hmm. And people, I guess, just like my energy. That's like what the comments I get is that the reason they like the certified banger thing is because I yell it with happiness. I'm excited about gig work. And, you know, I'm sure if you do this for like 3-4 years or more, you're probably burnt out on gig work, or at least that's what I hear from a lot of people. So to see somebody new, kind of enthusiastic about it and being happy about what he's doing, when people watch, it kind of like spills over into you. And that's my whole thing, is that if you have a positive attitude, no matter what you're doing, you're going to affect you, your job, and the people around you. So it's kind of my whole thing.
I think all of us up on this panel, with the exception of maybe Gary, believes in that too. So I don't know. Like, we all believe in that, you know, that energy and putting it out there. Because I even saw another video specific, I don't have it pulled up, but was the one where you're talking about, why does everybody say don't take these? And I was even looking at some of the orders thinking, I don't think I'd take that. But you kept explaining, you're like, I just jump on the highway, then I come back on the highway. Then it was that one that where you're just back and forth on the highway. And I was like, okay, I'm like, he's making it work. I mean, and he got me to watch the whole damn video. So because like another person doing those same screenshots, I probably would have gone, no, I'm not watching this. But I wanted to watch you explain why.
I mean, every market's different, you know? I mean, what might work for somebody else in a different market might not work for me, and vice versa. In Burlington, there's two different highways. So there's 95 going these ways and then Route 3 going these ways. And it's right by where all the restaurants are. So when I take an order like that and I go and it's all highway, I know the chances of me getting another pickup on the way back are significantly higher than somebody else, because I have those strips that I go on. And I did. I know the one that you're talking about, and I ended up getting a Bertucci's on the way back. It was like a $35 hour because of that. So, you know, it works for me. I've tended to pick up which ones I can pick up and which ones I can't. I know not to go to Concord. I've learned that. But yeah, it's different for a market for sure.
But I see that you pick up longer mile ones. Now I think understand that a little more too, because you live in one of those areas you need to. But I think a lot of people would just give up.
So I don't need to necessarily. Just for context, I have a day job. I'm a computer technician in software and certifications, et cetera. I make good money in my day job. So I'm actually not too concerned about the miles on my car. I drive a Honda Civic I've had for 10 years. I'm not worried about it breaking down or whatever that may be. Like the normal person's worried about the wear and tear in my car. I'm saving for a house. 100% of my money from DoorDash and gig work goes into Bitcoin and other investments to save for a house. And I'm doing this for 2 or 3 years. So I'm more concerned about the immediate money right now. And mm-hmm. So I pick whatever gives me the most money average wise for that night. And I don't really consider the mileage as much. If I'm going to be paid more per hour on doing more miles, I'm going to take it.
So you started the channel 2 months ago on TikTok. But when did you, how long have you been doing gig work now?
Gig work, maybe like 2.5-3 months.
Okay. So here's my question to the rest of the panel then. I love that he's got this goal, 2 to 3 years, right? I got to make this money in two. He, like, none of us have that like bubble. Like we talk about maybe getting out, you know, or whatever. But so across the panel, who thinks that A, that it's a good idea, but B, that he'll be out in 3 years done based on his energy and that he can keep the positiveness going the whole time?
So here's the thing. I got to say, though, with the positiveness, I think that depends on what kind of person you are, because a lot of people comment on my videos and they're like, you're always so positive. And I'm like, at the end of the day, nobody's forcing me to be out here. Nobody's like, oh, you have to go and do these deliveries. So when I'm out there, it's fun. I'm not mom. So I'm going to be in a good mood because I'm not mom at that point in time. And I'm making money at the same time. You get to see people. So if you have this attitude now, and that's just the kind of person that you are, it's going to last. Now, when you say 2 to 3 years, I think that after you're done, because you do have a goal. So after you're done, you'll have another goal. There'll be something where you'll say, you know what? It's fun to do this. I made the money to be able to put a down payment or whatever by my house. What else can I do? And I personally don't think anyone should like completely shut off the apps, because even me, I haven't been out in months, but I'm still active, because the day that I want to go out there, it's there. So I think it's always good to keep the apps, make sure that you're staying active, but, you know, use it whenever you need to use it and keep up the good attitude, because it helps.
So real quick to respond to that. So the 2 to 3 years is when I'm planning on buying a house. I'm not stopping with gig work. I love gig work. If anything, I've had other social media accounts that have been very successful. I have over 20,000 followers on Instagram. I was getting paid with Instagram for a fitness channel. I just love making content, and I love the gig work as well. It's kind of like, it's like going on vacation for me, because I'm sitting at home all day with my day job. So then when I get out and I'm like on the road, to me, it's not work. To me, it's like, oh man, I finally get out of my house. I get to go walk around people. I get to talk to people. And the creation of content that I do for YouTube, I'm 1,000 hours away from getting monetized on YouTube already in 2 months. So as soon as I get start seeing the money come in from YouTube, I promise you, I'm not stopping this. I'm just going to keep growing. Like there's nothing that's going to stop me to do this. The only thing that would change is, you know, I'm planning on having a family and stuff. So I'm not going to be working as many hours with gig work. Right now I do it every day. I do 16-hour challenges. I do all this stuff. That will change. I'll probably lower it a lot. But it'll never stop. I think that gig work is a great way to earn extra cash. If you want to save for a vacation, doing an extra 2 nights a week. I mean, you can make $150 per week. Just put that to your vacation. Like, if you, that's if you have another job that pays the bills, et cetera, which I do. I'm not going to give it up. I like it too much.
And for those that are saying $150 isn't a lot, remember that's $7,800 a year. For those that don't know. So
exactly, it adds up.
That's pretty good. I don't know, Steve. You know me. I mean, we're like lifetime gig workers.
Well, that's why 9 years in prefaced it a little time. More too, and now he's added it. Now he like sprinkled some like sprinkles on top and made it prettier too. So you know, this story even makes more sense. But I was thinking, like, we've been in this since 2015. We've been through all the craziest of changes. I mean, if he came on this year, this calendar year. He hasn't seen all the just gnarly, nasty. He's just coming in at the end of all of it.
Right. See, because here's what I was going to respond with is I hope he quits in 3 years so us full-timers don't have so much competition.
Well, you don't live in Boston area.
Well, no, but I'm sure there's some full-timers there.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I think gig work's great. You know, me and you, Steve, we've been doing it for 9 years now. Oh, hold on. I got delivered.
Get that delivered.
I don't know what they're sending me. Let's see what it is.
Tony. Okay. Tony, what about you? Because you're full-time, too. You know. Like, yeah. What do you think? Now again, it's all been tainted a bit now, too, because we know he's into it. And there's different goals. I didn't know all that when I put that out there.
Yeah. I think he's got.
I guess let me rephrase it, Tony. Do you think he's gonna this? I mean, I believe he can continue this energy. That I don't doubt. But do you think he's gonna continue his view on the gig economy? Or do you think he's gonna see the dark side and it's gonna be tainted?
I don't think so. I think he'll continue to see the good side. Just that's the mindset that seems like he's got, especially based off of his experience in social media. Even if he does see the dark side, I don't think he'll make it a focal point.
Yep. Just don't read the comments on YouTube. I mean,
so I will say this though. I will say this. I don't know if you're thinking about this, but I have a, I sometimes do videos when I have a bad experience with customers. I'll call it DoorDash nightmare session or nightmare Instacart session. I have a bunch of videos there. Those are actually the most popular videos I have because people like seeing me flip out for a minute. But then I then say, oh, well, let's recenter. Like, we have a moment to vent. We vented about this customer doing some bullshit. And now we're coming back and grounding ourselves. And I don't let it, you know, continue for the rest of the video. But those are very popular. People love seeing, cause they can relate to it so much cause it happens to everybody else that they love watching those videos. And the other thing is because I'm not full time, I'm not going to have the reaction of a full timer that they are dedicated to this job, to feeding their families and their rent and stuff. If they have a bad experience or nothing's going well, it's going to affect you so much differently than me. If I have a bad night, it's not, I'm still paying my bills with my job, you know? So it's not going to affect me the same way as it would with a full-timer.
Sure. Yeah. And having that, I mean, like me too, like I'm an independent contractor for a long time before the first gig app even launched. So I do lighting and lasers and production. So I have other IC gigs.
Allegedly.
Yeah, sure. You think I live in my crib off fucking curry, bro?
I think everyone should have multiple revenue streams, though.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's got a nice bedroom because, like, whenever I stream from Steve's house, there's like a grand piano in the back and everything.
Yeah, that's the big room.
Wait, did he take you through the basement or something? Because like I got the closet.
No, that's where he was. He just made it the background.
I'm gonna make it over to Steve.
I'm saying hi to Chad. You guys are like, I'm not. I forgot Gary's here. I totally forgot, dude.
You invited me.
because by the way, I did a podcast with Gary. It was my 4-year anniversary podcast for the audio podcast.
Oh, I did with Gary Steve's this house. Week.
And if you missed it, guys, check it out. It's on YouTube too. I don't always make it public on YouTube, but I did for this one. It was a good one, I thought. But yeah, let's say hi to the chat. What's up, Chris Taylor? What's up, Go Gig It? Hey, Traveler. What's up, Carnifige? Hi, Becky Harris. Hi, Ellen. Hi, Bubba Sue. Hi, Dashing with John. Let's see. Hey, Brandon, how are you? Oh, Brandon, I think you had a birthday recently. Happy belated, my friend. Let's see. Hey, Thomas Mathis, how you doing? Rick, what's up? Mo Side Hustles, how are you? Christopher Taylor. Gary put his channel up there, and I'll be rolling it on the bottom. Plus, it'll be in the show notes, guys. But, and oh, Mo says, Mad Dasher, thank you again for going live with me this week.
You got it, Mo. Maureen.
So, wow, Gary's on screen. Yeah, Gary's been on screen a ton, Chris. Like, a lot.
Yeah, he's just referencing because I'm not on the Thursdays a lot anymore.
Oh, what's up, Digi Nomad? And thank you, everybody. What's up, Eric Berry? How are you? And Mary B. And I think I got everybody. So we'll move in now. We're only 16 minutes in. I almost scared she'd be like sighing or clock would buzz or something. She's like my alarm at many points. But I want to talk about Uber Mafia because
I'll do it like Jason.
What?
See the private chat now.
I hate the private chat. I won't go to it. I'm not gonna look. Hey Shane, what's up? I don't know did you know that Shane Shane that moved to Philippines? Did you know that, Tony?
No.
He's the one from Colorado Springs, right? I'm pretty sure it was him. If it wasn't, it was another guy that I'm thinking of. But he's been in a couple lives lately, and he's like living on a beach in Philippines. So congratulations. If it's not you, wow, Shane, now maybe. I'm starting to think it's not you. Maybe Shane might be up in Fort Collins. I don't know. But last week we talked about this, and Gary and I on the podcast talked about this, and we were talking about Uber and this restaurant that. What, it's not Ghost Kitchen, Gary. What is it? What's the term for the restaurant?
Fraudulent.
No, what the restaurants are dubbed as now that sign up for these, like unknown.
Yeah, isn't it Ghost Kitchen?
No, because they're not. I mean,
well, they're not really a Ghost Kitchen. What they're doing is they're imitating other higher end restaurants. They're copying their names and stuff.
So it's like a legal ghost kitchen, yeah. But there's like it's like a portal name or something. I'm pulling it up right now because that they call it where they've got it's Uber's way of, I think this is going to cause them a lot of problems, by the way. If anybody's wondering,
I didn't get show notes.
So. Imposter restaurants.
Imposter.
That's what they're calling it. But anyway, they found out about this one place that was doing three top end places that all told the restaurants, you cannot operate out of here, or the apps, you cannot operate out of here. We don't want your service. They could have, it sounds like a lot of these are even to the point of, you could even be doing it for 5%. We're not going to do it. Like, they just don't want to work with them. It might be because they do the volume they do. I've known restaurants who only have enough food to feed the people that they have there that night. So maybe
Or they just don't want to do takeout altogether.
Or as we're going to get to, they don't want to be part of the Uber Mafia, because that's what Gary dubbed it when we did the podcast on Monday. Because he was like, wait, because we were saying how they're taking 30% of every one of these. Well, there's over 1,000 restaurants.
What it is now, though, is like it's even worse, because it's not that they're just the mafia. You know, it's they're treating it like a mafia style. They're coming in a restaurant saying, hey, we want to do this business with you. We're going to take 30% of all your orders. The restaurant's like, no. And then the Uber mafia is like, yeah, we're going to do it anyways. And then we're going to take 100%.
Yeah. But that's the craziest part about this story is that we're used to them doing those kind of crazy percentages, but they're taking 30% of these businesses operating out of another restaurant, which would be a ghost kitchen. Like Denny's has three restaurants out of it. We were joking last week how, you know, the worst pizza in the world. Somebody made a comment on it, by the way, that they ate, that they, one of the comments said, I actually like Chuck E. Cheese pizza. So I'm sorry I dissed on it to whoever got offended, but I just honestly hate it. I didn't know anybody liked it other than kids. I did not know that.
Nothing happens when they're offended though, Steve.
So, but it was, but you know, I mean, like, so if you get, they don't say Chuck E. Cheese on the apps. It says what? Pasquale's or the Italian.
Yeah.
And so it's like, what? It's no, it's Chuck E. Cheese. I mean, that's the normal ghost kitchen, but these have been illegal. They're literally operating other people's menus with just subpar product. And Uber's been in on it for years. That's the biggest problem. Taking 30% for years. So now it's fraud, scams, civil RICO, racketeering. All these charges are coming against Uber Eats right now. And so we all, I mean, I think the one word that caught probably everybody's attention there is RICO. RICO's going to entrap all these bad players here. Because it's, watch, it'll be Uber Eats first, sure. But wow. I don't know what even to say anymore. Because to me, it's just so dirty. It's like, you know, it's dirty enough when it's them over these years taking the amounts they take and how they play the menu items and the cost of that and all this other stuff and how they, even in some cases, I know of the restaurants being forced to like up the price. Otherwise, they can't afford the service, but they need the service to stay afloat.
Yeah.
So there's just so many crazy. So it is like, again, like Uber Mafia, because they literally could, I mean, 30, like Gary just said, 30, they could just tomorrow say it's 50% now. It's 80. Like, I mean, a lot of places might not, but a lot of places are still going to participate. I mean, maybe not at 80. I don't know. And I got to tell you guys.
I think some restaurants would probably hit a cap and they'd be like, no, never mind. But then there's some restaurants that would be like, even at 50%, they'd be like, yeah, okay, I have to. I have to keep my business afloat.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have no choice. Mm-hmm.
So there's two things I wanted to mention, though, about this. So I'm not going to give away any locations. I'm going to take the advice of Kim, like we've been doing, and be very careful with my wording here. But if you guys remember, I was approached on the dumpling marketplace for what I thought was a one-time customer, but it ended up being that one location wanted me to cover, because they have a delivery driver who does a specific area of Denver. Tony, I won't say it because you might start guessing places. So, but it's a specific area of Denver that has one restaurant. It's very small if you go inside. They do a great business. They've been around for a long time. They have a delivery driver who does all of that area. Again, it's like there's, you know, there's like Lakewood, Highlands, Arvada, Denver. There's so many areas in Denver. Well, this is one of those areas and it delivers to that, but anything outside of it, it doesn't. Well, I actually got to talk to the guy and he had this same problem. He is now with DD and UE, DoorDash and Uber Eats, and wants to get away from them. He was not looking for a one-off with me. He was looking for me to take orders outside of the 5-mile zone on Friday and Saturday nights only. He was wondering if I would be interested in a situation like that, where I'm almost like being paid like a door guy, like cash under the table at the end of the night on a payout. And the tips would be mine or whatever. But regardless, here's his story, because I had sat and met with him, and this is too crazy. So before he even did sign up for DoorDash and Uber Eats, he got alerted by somebody in this area that he knows saying the same thing as the Vegas story. dude, we got your food twice now on DoorDash and it sucks unless we come in there. And he's like, I'm not on the apps. Called his lawyer, took 4 weeks to get him off.
Whoa.
Like his lawyer, he had to pay his lawyer. His lawyer had to fight to get him off of these platforms. I would think it's like, get us off now. I mean, if you can, because again, like Gary and I were saying, Gary has to show his evidence of Stripe to do delivery or to work the platform or to, you know, but like they don't even have to show a business license. You can start a restaurant on DoorDash or Uber Eats and not even show a business license. No, you haven't been approved by the city. Nothing. Nothing.
But you have to do a face scan to work for DoorDash.
But you have to do a face scan. Gary, what was yours with Stride too?
Stripe?
Stripe, sorry.
Yeah, Stripe. Which those don't know, Stripe is a credit card processing company. Right. But for Stripe, I had to upload all my documents, my driver's license, my business license, my EIN. They had to check the EIN, make sure it was good. Like everything that you would have to do with a legit business.
That's my, and you just said it, a legit business. Meaning, in Gary's head, he was thinking, this isn't legit. Like something's wrong. And it is, dude. Like, honestly, like Mad Dasher just said, like, dude, yeah, we got to do facial scans and they're trying to get better about that, whatever. Not exactly sure how far that's gone. But what? Like, remember, I mean, we mentioned it last week. The guy selling I'll never forget this. If it was DC or whatever, the guy who was selling Tortino's pizzas out of his car or his apartment, you know? Crazy. And it's just crazy to me. Gary, you're muted. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. All this kind of stuff goes down. And really, like, how many people actually know that? How many people actually knew that?
Well, I mean, no one would know, right?
Well, I mean, just the fact that you can go start a restaurant, well, until last week, you could have for the last 5 years just started a restaurant by just saying, I'm a restaurant, don't worry about it. And put in your address and sell whatever you want.
That's crazy.
You know, like, I mean, just like the Tortino's pizza thing. Those, we all know at the time, I don't know what they are now with inflation, but those were 89 cents. That guy was selling them for 10 bucks or 8 bucks. Really? Like, there's just, to me, the fact you don't even have to put in a business license is very scary because it also talks about the sanitary conditions. Like, we don't know them then. I know
that's the thing.
I even know food trucks that have a lot of trouble working with these platforms. That have some have wanted to, some don't, but some have, and they've been like, well, can you, and they can't get the right approval on cleanliness or something. And I'm thinking, why does it matter, dude? You don't even need a business license. Just put in there where you are and you sell food and they'll come get it. I mean, I don't know. It's just ridiculous. It's not what real business should be. And, it's embarrassing, really. That's the biggest point. It's embarrassing that these companies would even do that.
It's just scary to think where the food could be coming from. Like,
well, I mean, it's yeah. Yeah. And there's nobody checking. There's nobody paying the fees you have to pay to be a restaurant. So you're taking away from the other restaurants. Mm-hmm. So even if, let's say, you aren't just doing Tortino's, you still shouldn't be doing this. Mm-hmm. You know, you still shouldn't be because you're going to, I mean, it's like a legal account. You're not paying the taxes on it. So.
Exactly.
But I just wanted to mention Uber Mafia. I just wanted to mention Uber Mafia because I think it's going to stick. I think that Rico and all that's happened here and the fact that it's happening in Henderson / Las Vegas is just too funny too. It's like in the gangster headquarters. But at the same time, before we move into DoorDash,
Before we move on from that.
Hold
on. Let's see. Window, this one.
Oh, shit. Is this going to be? Is this like private chat stuff?
No, this is pretty funny. let's see. Window, this one. Oh, this one. Okay. Now, I just now signed up for a DoorDash restaurant. I gotta finish going through all the steps, but check this out. Put that on the screen there, Steve. Look at my business name.
This is a fake business.
This is a fake business.
This restaurant does not serve food.
Yeah.
This restaurant serves plastic for food.
But are you far enough along that you can actually say that it would work?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, because maybe the next screen's there. I mean, again, this is on just UE, right? Not DD. But before we move to the next one, I need you guys to watch this because I sent it to Chris and Sergio at the rideshare guy. And we were both texting. All three of us were texting last night, like, what the fuck? Because we saw like three of these. I couldn't get to the other two because they're ads on TikTok, but I did find a third one and I just had to screen record it. I had to do it like another way because it's an ad, it doesn't actually have a channel. But I want you guys to see this, and it's not even the worst one of them all, but you'll all know how pissed I got.
Heck of a morning today. The mornings are always crazy, trying to wake them up, get their lunches packed, and get the little ones to drop off on time. After barely getting them to school on time, I get a call from my frantic teen who's freaking out because her friend can't take her to school today because she's sick. There's literally nothing I can do. But then I remember just a couple weeks ago, we signed up for an Uber Teen account. With an Uber Teen account, she has the freedom to request her own ride under my supervision. She went ahead and requested her own ride, and right away I got the notification. And guess what? She got to school on time, and I was able to track her ride the entire time. Uber Teens really saved the day today, huh? I don't know why you were freaking out so much. It was one.
Okay. What? I love how she has the coffee in her hand. Like, everything's good. I don't need to be worried. And the video I tried to pull was of somebody, this not the same woman, a different woman in a different kitchen saying, you know, I don't know why so many people are concerned about Uber Teen. Uber Teen only takes the most vetted drivers. And they explain this whole, she explains this whole process of bullshit. That's like, what are you talking about? Are you talking about that they had a $24 checker background check done? That's not the most vetted at all. The most vetted are the what is it? Not go-go grandparent, but the other one. What's the other one? Tony knows.
Hop, skip, drive.
Yeah. So like hop, skip, drive. Yeah, those are vetted people. But you're not vetted to do Uber Teen. Nor should anybody do it. Don't do it.
So this actually came up in one of my mommy groups. There was a mom that asked the question about Uber Teen and if we think that she should use it. And I was surprised to see how many people have been saying that they have been using Uber before Uber Teen even came out for their children to get to and from school.
What?
Oh, I used to deal with that all the time.
That's nuts. I thought they couldn't go on it.
What happened to school buses?
Well, some cities are missing. Chicago doesn't have it anymore. But
yeah, like, there's a few places
I still wouldn't get an Uber in Chicago for my kids, though, especially Chicago. Not to say anything bad about Chicago, but
no, it doesn't matter anywhere you would. I mean, I have a kid. You know, I would never he's 17 now, but I would never have allowed him along the way. But all they were doing before, Cheyenne, was taking their phone, the parents, downloading the Uber app to the kid's phone as an adult Uber account, just theirs mirrored. And so I would go, I'm sure Tony's had many of these because we get them a lot in Denver, used to, where you pull up to the high school always, you know, and it's like some high schooler and some of the high schoolers had been through it enough too. This is before the pandemic, but they had been through it enough where they're like, okay, like they knew you were going to try and get out of it, but they were still pushing for it. And so like, I even had times where I'm like, I'd park. There's always cop cars at the high schools in Denver. So park right behind the cop car, you know, just cause I don't feel like dealing with teenage bullshit. So I'd lock the doors and I'd roll the passenger window down. And when they'd go to the back door, I'd be like, no, come up here. And I'd be like, can I see your ID? Make sure you're 18. And they're like, oh no, I'm good though. I'm like, well, sure. Can I see your ID? Oh no, but like it's on my parents' account, it's all good. I'm like, I don't really care. I'm like, I got 1 minute left and I can cancel this and I'm going to make $5. I don't give a shit. And they would call their parents. I've had ones call their parents and the parents, like through a speakerphone, through the door, screaming at me, just pick him up, damn it. And I'm like, you know, I know that nobody reads the TOS except for Gary, but like,
that's a great move. Getting mad at the Uber driver while you're expecting them to give a ride to your kids. That's,
of course,
that's smart parenting. Let me tell you.
That used to be my one thing. Tony knows this. Gary knows this. I mean, I used to literally say like, hey, the one awesome thing about Uber is that they always say no unaccompanied minors. It was basically all caps since the beginning. And then it was just gone. And I think they were like, hey, this generation isn't getting aren't buying cars as much. Let's start taking teenagers. And we already know there's been a lot of incidents. I mean, Tony, you've had those, haven't you?
Yeah. Did you see what Josh said?
No.
Which
is one? It worth looking at?
Yeah.
Yeah, it says, are you talking about the one that no one uses Uber Teen?
Yeah.
Really? 6 to 7 years old?
What? Come on.
See, this is and
but did that actually happen?
But
that happened to me too.
Dude,
six or 7 years old?
You kindergarten. I don't think there Tony, is there a floor for the age?
Yes, but that doesn't mean that people won't.
Well, but I know, but even that, it's still, you can still take that, can't you? I mean, by their terms, I wouldn't take any.
No.
Oh, it has to be teen. Okay.
Yeah, it's 13.
But how could you verify a teen, though? Because no teen has, unless you're like 16 and have a driver's or a permit, how are you going to be able to verify if you're 14 compared to 12?
It's a sub account of your parents' account. So they create it through their account.
But what if the parents lie?
So the parents lie.
This is crazy.
I mean, love how you say it's all like
14, maybe the kids are 13, 14, 15. And so at that point, they're not lying, but it's still a horrible thing. Why would you send a 13-year-old in an Uber? You know,
like, I love how they say that it's only vetted Uber drivers. But I mean, think about how many people in history have been like politicians or well-known actors or whatever it may be. And they still do fucked up shit. I mean, just because somebody has been Ubering for a year or whatever, it doesn't mean that they won't do something to your teen.
Yeah,
that doesn't stop somebody. It's crazy.
Exactly.
Just look at the education system, and those people have been vetted.
Yeah.
but I mean, we all shouldn't forget either, because we've talked about this. Since they put it in place, before they put it in place, there were issues. But since they put it in place, there's been deaths. Kids have been killed. They've gone missing.
Yeah,
exactly. We said before it launched, when we knew about it, kids are going to go missing and get killed. Watch, in the first few months, it happened exactly like we said. So I don't know.
It's not a surprise. Not a surprise.
No, it's not a surprise. So yeah,
that is insane. And it was a long ride. I'm not surprised.
The dad understood and didn't give me trouble. But yeah, but you know what that dad did? You canceled, or he canceled that ride, and he called another one.
Yep.
He didn't learn a lesson. He called another one the second you left, Josh. Yeah. And I'm not saying you should have taken it. Good for you for not, but I don't know. It's not even like the good old days where, like, if Josh was there with his dash cam, I know he has one, you know, if Josh is there, he could have just sat and wait to see which dumbass Uber driver did come, and you could actually report them. Now, if you were to report them, they'd be like, what? We allow that. Like, are you kidding me? Again, guys, don't ever think that, we've talked about this many times, don't ever think that because it's on the app, it's legal. Don't. I've had Brian Greening on from Legal Rideshare many times, speak to him all the time. That's one of the biggest, if not the biggest in the country, law firm for gig workers. And to be honest, I mean, he even says a lot, like the original Uber Connect. He goes, that wasn't legal. Uber Teen isn't legal. Unless the person is technically bonded to transport children in their vehicle. And there's no way any Uber driver out there has that kind of bonding. I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd be pretty scared to drive kids. Not because, like, let's say they say it's legal or whatever, but I just wouldn't want anything to be, like, what if the kid said I did something and I didn't do it? You know, like, I'd be so nervous about my own reputation and what happens to me, even if I know I'm, you know, a kind individual that would never do anything to a kid, I'd still be so nervous. I would never drive a kid. I don't do Uber, but I wouldn't do it.
So, I mean, another example is, yeah, I mean, you're up front, they're in the back, you're driving safely, and somebody who's drunk runs into the car and kills the kid in the back.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, yep. And like, this is what I had a conversation with Bryant at Legal Rideshare was, I said, in that case, what happens? He goes, well, the first thing that would happen, no matter what insurance you carry, they're not covering you. Uber's not covering a dime. I'm like, but it's their program. He's like, if that happens, he goes, call it what you will, but if that happens, they're not, the insurance company isn't, your insurance is stepping away. Uber's not touching it, but they deployed it. They allowed it. What do you mean? Like, I can't wrap my head around it. Like, what do you mean that? Cause I know for a fact, like, none of us would do it, but obviously there's people who will.
Yes.
And they think it's okay because it's on the app.
Yes.
And I get that thinking too. I get the point, like thinking like, dude, well, I work this app. They wouldn't put it on here if it wasn't legal. But to anybody hearing this, it's not legal.
And a lot of the parents think that, as you saw on, because that's most likely a UGC post where like the creator sent it out to Uber and now Uber is going to like pay her for it or whatever. But a lot of parents think that way, that the driver is like a different type of driver. But they're not.
No, that was an Uber commercial.
Oh, that was yes. So
that wasn't. I just want to point it out. That was not just a TikTok. That was an Uber TikTok ad.
Oh,
from the
company. So most likely how it started, because creators are doing this now, where like you'll do a post for a company and they'll be able to use your post because you make posts. You're good at making posts. So maybe that's also how it started. But regardless, parents think that this is okay, because the comments that I was getting when I was like, please do not send your child in an Uber unaccompanied by another adult. And I was like, as an Uber driver, yes, I do the food side, but I know on the driver's side, it's the exact same thing. We go through the same background check. There's crazy people out there, like, they're like, yeah, but we can follow my child on the phone. And
oh my God. Yeah. And Cheyenne, you know, we did the one round table where the one kid was taken and they were following him on the phone until the phone stopped.
Stop.
The police got there and the phone was on the sidewalk.
Yeah. What do you do then?
It's more than that too, though. It's not just about them taking your kid. It's also about them getting information from your kid. So if they got a phone number or their social media, or they gain some kind of access to be able to contact that child later on, there's a lot of creeps out there that can pose as somebody else later because they know what this kid looks like. They know they had a conversation with them and now they know, oh, they like bowling and they like this and like that. So then when they meet them on social media, they pretend to be somebody else and they start talking about their interests. They're like, oh, you like this TV show? So do I, blah, blah, blah. There's so many other things other than just your kids missing. Like, it's so dangerous on countless accounts. I mean, honestly.
Yikes.
This actually goes very well with what Christopher Taylor said.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, I have no problem with many police, but some are bad. A lot of people are bad. So, and then definitely. I saw this come up twice. So I don't think Travis is on any Uber board anymore, but he did step into Ghost Kitchens. I don't know if he's still in them or not. His didn't go very well, but he was like, he was the footprint, just like he was with Rideshare for Ghost Kitchens though. So I don't know if it ever went anywhere for him, but I'm Tony, you might know. I don't think he touches the board at Uber. I don't think he has anything with Uber anymore.
No, he's not on the board at Uber.
He's not. Yeah, I don't even think he probably owns any Uber stock anymore.
So there was something that came up before.
So Uber's offering 15% to restaurants to get off DoorDash. Yeah, but the problem is, and My gosh, Uber of all people, we just talked about this, knows this. So what? Okay, if they say, okay, we'll leave DoorDash, and then the restaurant calls DoorDash and says, we're done with you. They're still going to be, somebody's going to be delivering their food from another restaurant. Like, somebody's going to notice that they closed their DoorDash account, and they're going to now sell that restaurant out of their kitchen in their house. This is how sketchy things get. I mean,
or
1,000 plus restaurants.
Or what Uber's just going to do is send a driver in there and pay with the card. Just saying. They don't even need imposters anymore. They just be like, hey, go in there with a card.
This is probably the most likely, to be honest. Like, we know that sometimes Uber just doesn't pay for 6 months.
Yeah.
Like that guy in Seattle was like going down there. He got an attorney, nothing worked, but he got a news anchor to do a story on it, and they paid him in 2 weeks. But for 6 months, he didn't get paid.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's like, my point is, if they make this 15% deal, what's that mean? They might not pay you at all. Who cares?
Tony, did you circle so you didn't have to pay?
What?
I seen you leave the parking garage and you came back in the parking garage?
Oh, no. I moved over to a Charger because they were all taken.
It's like at the airport, you know, sometimes at the airport you just pull out for the 1 hour parking and do a loop.
No, our staging lot at Denver Airport does not look as nice as where Tony is right now. Not at all.
There were a few questions that popped up earlier.
There were.
Has anyone tried, what is this?
Oh, Mover.
Never even heard of it.
That's a moving company, like physically moving people's stuff.
Furniture. I mean, that's a backbreaker.
Yeah, they're a brand new app. It's going to be a lot of hard work. I mean, they might pay like $90 an hour or something. I don't know what that is because Amazon has Flex and all that. So
yeah, I've heard of Flex, not Relay.
Yeah, I can look it up real quick.
Relay, I've seen the app too. Maybe it has something to do with taking from distribution center to store.
I'm not sure.
We do. If we get to it, we do.
I think it's loads, like kind of like last mile loads.
Okay. Isn't that Flex? That's what Flex does.
Yeah, it is. And then Christopher Taylor had this comment. So Arizona. Yeah, so then he explained it afterwards. It's going to allow private people to make and sell food from their home kitchen.
Okay,
that's a terrible idea.
But okay, I think it's a horrible idea and I think people will fail. The only way I'm okay with that is as long as they have to go through every other check that a restaurant has to go through.
Wait, why is it called the tamale bill?
To afford it and they'll fold.
Like they couldn't come up with a better name than tamale.
I think they're just testing the waters. But I mean,
again, here's the thing. Does anybody hear you from food trucks?
Yeah.
No.
Do you really think that they go all the way to their kitchen to prepare it? No, they do a lot of stuff at their house, and then they throw it in there. Yeah, they pay for their kitchen.
However, Gary, they pay their business license, and they get checked more regularly than a restaurant for cleanliness, what they're doing. So there is a standard of operations with food trucks.
Well, yeah, they get checked while they're already out, but the prep that they do, the only time that they can get checked on that is from their actual... I forget what they call them, but they have to pay for it because we got a lot of food trucks in Florida that do it. They pay for a prep station and it has to be in an actual building somewhere.
Right.
But a lot of them don't actually go there to prep it. They just prep it at home, but they still pay for it so they can show that to the city. Hey, yeah, we pay for it. Here it is.
So I can tell you this. I know a guy who, Tony will know this one, who owns two. Well, one of them's at Red Rocks at the amphitheater at the top. And then he has two food trucks called Rolling Smoke. And then there's one in this little area over here by me. But there's four Rolling Smokes. He has to have one location outside of that is a prepping building. So whether or not he's doing it at home or not, he has to have that inspected and he has to rent it.
Doesn't mean he has to use it, though.
Right, but why wouldn't you use it if you're... It's going to be better than your house.
You also can't say that the prep in a restaurant is that much better than someone prepping at home. I worked as a waiter for years, and I can tell you there's some bad restaurants, and the prep that they do.
Steve knows. He's
it's done. It's done by like a 16-year-old that's been working there for 2 years, that has no, or 2 months, and has no idea what they're doing. So
I honestly think if you just make them stick to like health check, health inspections, and that they got to get all their business, most of them won't even try this. Like tamales won't try it, you know. But maybe some unique something might want it. I don't know.
I thought it would be a bad idea, not because of the food prep or like bad food going out, but if there's like a mom at home with her son that want to do a business, think about the wait times that are probably going to accrue. You know, if somebody really likes that food and they get really popular, how much business are they actually going to be able to pump out? And places like DoorDash and Uber Eats, they're just going to keep giving orders. They're going to be like giving these people order. And there's no way to say, oh, they're too busy, and to shut it off. Like when these restaurants are too busy, they don't shut it off. You have to wait 20, 30 minutes sometimes. And if that's at a mom and son house, that's a terrible idea.
Well, actually, there is a way for them to shut it off. It's just that the restaurants don't do it. So like a McDonald's, they can't shut it off because that would be headquarters that would have to do it. But we have a few restaurants over here that shut off. Like, especially Friday nights, Saturday nights, if they get really too busy and there's one particular manager, he's really into quality, but like his diner's quality. So he shuts it off. No questions asked.
Well, if they do that, then it could be, you know, profitable, but I don't know.
Yeah. Plus tamales are made in a batch, like as big as my car.
you're only allowed to sell tamales. That's all you're allowed to sell.
You could use the Tesla for tamales, dude. The Tesla tamales.
Pedal them out the back of the Tesla, man.
Sitting at Red Rocks.
When somebody's ordering their food, smoke guy. When somebody's ordering their food too, like if it doesn't seem like a lot, like go up and go, you want some tamales too?
Exactly.
Video of a dude ordering the same sandwich from 12 restaurants up.
And that's the thing with ghost kitchens, right?
Yeah, but I mean, for all I know, that one could be legal. I don't know. Carnifige is in Vegas too. So that's where this RICO thing's going on right now. So maybe he is talking about one of the 1,000 legal places. Jesus, dude. But my point about talking about the one here is that it's going on everywhere. We've known about these for a while, but the fact that they're taking 30% for years. But I do want to move into this DoorDash move, because Tony and I live in a great market for a lot of apps. It is, but we live in a horrible market for DoorDash. I don't know. Nobody in this city says otherwise. So Tony, I don't know what's up with the new program.
What new program?
Yeah, he's like, I don't DoorDash. No. He's like, you DoorDash more than me, Steve. No, like, I do it just 2 days a week. Are you
talking about the tier system?
The tier system. Yes.
But the new way where it's even raised.
Hey, Hannibal. Yen.
What's up, Hannibal? How you doing?
If DoorDash is not good in your market, the tier system's not going to be your friend. I don't know how the other system worked, because I've actually only known the tier system since I've been working. But the fact that you need 100 deliveries to get platinum, and platinum is the only way to do Dash now. If you don't have a good market for DoorDash, that 100 deliveries is going to be pretty hard to make for you.
Well, you got to do 4 a day.
100 deliveries.
Okay, 4 a day, working 7 days a week.
Exactly.
Yes. 4 days, 7 days a week.
So what if you're part-time?
You better still do 4 a day.
No, part-time. But you can't.
To me, 4 deliveries a day is part-time.
But see, in a lot of markets, I
but then you can't do Instacart or Uber Eats. You can't take advantage of multi-apping if you're doing that then.
Well, that's the point of the program.
Yeah. Well,
I could have never done.
You guys... I'm going to give the credit where the credit is due. Roy has said it for a long time. It doesn't apply to every app, but Roy, if you're listening in, cheers to you, because you are finally right about one of the apps for sure now. You know, it's independent employees.
Yeah.
That's what you are. on DoorDash. I mean, because if you're participating in DoorDash, you're scheduling shifts in New York City. If you're
platinum, you're not.
But you can in New York City with the new law, you can only schedule. And if they don't need you, they cut you.
Yeah, that's in New York.
That's in New York City. They ask you when you're going to end your dash.
Right, but I can dash now and dash now and I mean, it's just asking when you think you're working to, but I could say 3:30 and then just redo it and work till 8:30. It's not like, I get what you're saying. Technically, you are on a schedule because then it will affect other people so that they don't give them the dash now feature. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But you don't have to like pre-schedule like a normal job. You're like, oh, well, I'm working next Monday. You don't have to do that. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
No, and if you schedule, you can cancel it. I'm just saying like when we talk about being an independent contractor on here a lot, you can't be doing telematics. So it's illegal to be tracking anybody in any state's independent contractor law. You cannot track that worker's movement. They're now doing telematics. The tiers are illegal because you can't have a bias. You can't have acceptance rate matter. Like it's even questionable if they should be showing it. A lot of lawmakers are questioning that one, but you cannot have one that literally has an effect on the drivers. They have that. They are literally breaking every independent contractor law. And you live in Massachusetts. You should know. You guys got a lot of creepy laws coming up right now.
Yeah, and they're doing it because they can. No one's stopping them. I mean, DoorDash especially, even from the beginning, they were doing what you were saying earlier about putting them on certain restaurants and just sending people to pick up food, and the restaurant wouldn't even know about that. And they interviewed the CEO, and he was like, "Yeah," or somebody, some VP, and they were like, "Yeah, we know. We don't care. I mean, it's going to give us more, you know, visibility." And no one's stopping them. That's why they do all this, because I don't know if it's like the governments know that this is like a program they want because of COVID, or because they want people to be sheltered in their house and they want people to order out more than like going around. I don't know what the motive is, but they're not doing anything to stop it. It's very clear.
But the prices are through the roof. I mean, not from our perspective of doing the work, but the prices are through the roof. It's not affordable anymore.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah.
And a lot of these people, like I've talked to, I do a piece with a guy, Lou, Long Island Dash Experience. And like, we had a really great conversation about the fact that a lot of people just got addicted during the pandemic and now literally have a credit card tied to it, but are just now reaching the point where they're like, I don't think I can afford this. And they're looking into their bills and seeing that they're way backlogged. And they're like, wait, no, I couldn't have afforded this for the last year. I've been using it. And Gary and I talked this week about it. I said, I hate saying this because, you know, I'm so sick of hearing it, but it's true. Like, tip fatigue is very real. I feel it every day. You know, I feel like everywhere you go, even these days, somebody's shoving a thing in your face, like going, hey, you can tap it there after you tip me. Like, get that out of my face.
Now, they do it politely. They know there's going to be a couple questions that pop up.
I know. But tip fatigue is very real.
It's affecting gig workers because, you know, if you feel fatigue from these other restaurants, you're less likely to tip a server or a gig worker because you've been seeing it all day. I think they should get away with all of those little pads in like Subway, and like, I've seen it in crazy places too. I can't remember where I saw it, but it might've been like an auto body place or something. Like, it was somewhere where you would never expect it. And it was there. And I was like, why would I tip you? Like, I'm already paying you for your service. Like, you're getting paid enough to do your job. Like, you don't depend on tips. Why would I pay you?
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, like we've said on this podcast before, we've said that, you know, like, you would never go into a restaurant and not tip somebody. I don't care what kind of scumbag you are. And if you're going to be like,
people do that.
Yeah. But they're the people that kind of run out the door. I mean, I worked in restaurants for
Actually,
no.
Maybe I just don't work at trashy places. I don't know.
So they'll try to prove a point to you.
This came up last week. And as you were talking about this, I'm like, this is exactly the conversation
but
we
Canada
were having.
Canada doesn't, you guys aren't like America, though. You guys don't even tip anyway.
No, we tip. We tip really well, actually. We did really well. But no, so there was a mom that was saying, oh, my husband is now really tired about tipping and all that kind of stuff because everything you need to tip. So, you know, I understand what he's talking about. So I don't argue with him. Whenever we go out, I know if he's paying, we're not tipping. But she was explaining that they went to a restaurant to sit down. And when they left, and this is like a nice restaurant, when they left, the waiter was like, oh, you didn't tip. And the husband was like, no. And he walked out. And she's like, I feel uncomfortable going back another time. And everyone was on her like, well, yes, you should. Like, at the end of the day, I understand. And this is the comment that I made. I understand people are tired of tipping for certain situations. But you sat down. Like, you received a service. And I feel as, like everyone is saying, people are tired of hearing about tips. So now they're taking it out on the wrong people.
They're also uneducated. They don't know the difference between how much a server gets paid base or how much a DoorDasher gets paid base compared to someone that works at Subway, which is getting an hourly wage for doing their job, regardless, or Dunkin' Donuts, whatever. They're getting paid hourly enough to do their job. Exactly. I'm saying enough because obviously they probably don't get paid good money, but for Dunkin' Donuts and for Subways, they probably are. And that's not the same as a server and a gig worker. It's just not the same.
But at this point, with 12 million, 13 million people that have passed through the DoorDash platform, I mean, there's 172 million working adults, whether they're independent contractors or W-2 or salary position, doesn't matter. There's 172 million working adults in this country, and there's been 13 million DoorDashers. Wouldn't you think that you have a family member who's like, yeah, don't work with them, they suck? if 13 million out of 172 million have worked DoorDash, and I don't know, I would think people would start knowing that, well, no, they're not paid well.
Yeah, people don't care. That's Steve. People don't care. I mean, they don't. I mean, Tony, you do rideshare. I do rideshare.
Yeah.
Steve, you used to do rideshare. You know, the longer people do stuff, the less they tip. It's just how it is. If you order food every single day when you first start out, you tip.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the everyday thing maybe, but like I'm no different when I take a rideshare now than I was in 2015.
There's also people like I'm still
gonna
tip.
I'm still gonna tip. No,
I'm not talking about you taking one. But I'm saying you don't take one all the time though, compared to people that take it every day to go to work, take it every day to go home. Mm-hmm. People that order every day for lunch, things like that. They're not gonna tip. And if they do, it's gonna be a lot less than if you know a person like me ordered once a week, maybe once a month. I'm probably gonna tip more than you know Cheyenne's ordering every day.
Yeah.
You know, because between the fees, which I mean, if you order every day, you should have DashPass or Uber One or something. But still, those tips on top of the food you're ordering add up.
Oh, for sure.
I mean,
it's also have you guys seen the Matt Walsh video where he's talking about tipping and he says that he doesn't tip anywhere anymore? So people that have a platform with a lot of viewers behind them are now saying stuff about we tip culture is toxic, you shouldn't tip. And a lot of people watch that, and then it affects gig workers and service people because they're listening to people like Matt Walsh, who some people, you know, respect the guy a lot, and they're changing their tipping habits because of that.
Well, and then Michael Moles says to tip your DoorDash driver.
Right. And then there's good and bad influencers, but
I mean, most of the country or most of the world doesn't tip.
So most of the rest of the world does not. Yeah. Australia, yeah, New Zealand. I
mean, you know, that's
there's a lot of places that don't.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they get paid accordingly, though.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
I don't know. Remember when we had Atlanta Delivers on from Bendendorm? When we had her on, she was saying how like bartenders, she broke that down for us. And I know that life. I've done that life.
But she also said that her DoorDash and stuff was a lot higher base pay than ours.
Sure. But like a bartender, she was saying, no, a bartender doesn't get tipped. It's almost rude to tip a bartender.
Yeah.
And then she said their pay and it was like minimum wage. And I was like, dude, I used to make like on a Friday, Saturday night, I made 40, 60 an hour to work bartend. Like, it's you bartend for money. You don't do it for minimum wage.
Well, but they're not really minimum wage though, because they have higher wages.
Still, you wouldn't do it with.
Well, I wouldn't do it, but if you're accustomed to it, you would. You What's know, up, you're PDM? You're he's he said he's just here to be a pain in my ass. I don't have an apple to eat for 90 minutes, so excuse me, PDM. You know, but if PDM? if you like, we grew up tipping as a culture. Mm-hmm. You know, to where the countries that don't tip as a culture, they grew up that way. So it's a common lifestyle. You know, that's why when they come over here, they're like, tip, what's a tip? You know, they're not used to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just, you know, if you're having tipping fatigue, I guess my thing is maybe you shouldn't be ordering off the platforms.
Exactly.
Until there is some kind of revision, because the drivers aren't paid enough. So if you're not tipping.
Yeah, but the problem is once somebody doesn't tip and they still get their food, they're not going to start tipping. They're just going to continue to do it. And DoorDash with Earn by Time, people are picking up these orders. Newbie people are picking it up, and Earn by Time people are picking it up. The people are still going to get their food. I mean, I've had multiple times where it's the same customer. I know for a fact it's the same customer because I do these challenges and I'm like, why am I doing Earn by Time? It's obviously for content, but like, I see the same person who orders from 20 miles away and they don't tip and they still get their food. Was it my fault? Sure. I was doing content, but if I didn't do it, somebody else would have done it because they're thinking they're making money with Earn by Time, but then they're not getting paid on the 20 miles back to get another order. It's a huge scam, and people are getting away with it. So why would you tip? Why would you?
I mean, I'll tell you, I was here, our market, Tony, do you get, is it $18.50 everywhere in Denver?
Hey, Donna.
Hey, babe.
I believe so.
When it's Earned by Time. I've never done, I won't do it because I believe it's a test.
They actually raised mine today. I looked today, mine went up from $13 to $16 an hour today.
Ooh. So I was in Austin.
Still not worth it.
I was in Austin 2 weeks ago. It was $11 an hour, Earned by Time. And I was like, are you shitting me? I was like, why would anybody even do this, dude? Like, this is just roll the dice, man.
You know why they do it? You know why they do it? They think because they want to get their acceptance rating up. So they do Earn by Time thinking, well, if I take these orders, at least I'm getting paid. I've proven this because I do 16-hour challenges for different ways, taking all orders from Earn by Offer, taking all orders from Earn by Time, doing it with being able to decline, and I mark how much I make, how much I drive. I can tell you 100% Earn by Time is not a good way to get your acceptance rating up. If you want your acceptance rating up, just take every single order from Earn by Offer. It goes by how many orders you take. If you're doing Earn by Time, you're going to be going 20 miles for an order and you're going to get your acceptance rating up by one. I could do 7 $3 orders on Earn by Order and my acceptance rating would go up by 7%. Or it wouldn't go up, but depending on, how it works. But you can get 7 orders by the same time as doing one order.
Those 20 mile ones.
You just decline it.
But then it doesn't help your acceptance.
No, but you're down one instead of wasting an hour for that one.
Oh, I'm not defending Earn by Time. I think it should be burnt and shoved to hell. So I honestly think it's a test for each market. What is the threshold
before they make us employees? Yeah,
you guys will take. Because when I hear people like saying that I actually see some people stoked about it. They're like, oh, dude, finally I'm getting Earned by Time here. I'm like, oh, dude.
Some of them like it because, like, you can do Earn by Time. And if you're in a good market, my market doesn't do it, but if you're in a good market and say your Earn by Time's $18 and then they throw in a $4 surge on top of that, I mean, now you're guaranteed that plus whatever tips come in. If you are already making $20 an hour
A surge,
got the promos or whatever, peak pay. What if you want to call it?
I don't even get peak pay in my area anymore.
I see it once in a while for like $1.
Maybe. Yeah, but some do. You know, rideshare Lisa, she gets it in her market. And when she does it Earn by Time because then she makes $20 an hour minimum. And then whatever tips come in on top of that, you know.
But it's not $20 an hour minimum because it's only counting for when you have an order.
Right. But if you have two orders an hour and you're constantly on an order, that's almost $20 an hour.
If you're a slower delivery person, I can see why this could be appealing to you, because you like taking your time. You don't want to drive too fast, and you will be getting paid more as on the base pay to do that. But if you're someone like me, I like fucking hustling, man. I can't go slow. I need to be taking orders, and Earn by Time will not be paying that. It won't be good.
Yeah. And the other thing too, is that Earn by Time it's not guaranteed. I think it looks tricky to newbies. They think, okay, I'll make that much. You're not making that much an hour. You're making that much for active time.
Exactly. The thing is a lot of people do it because they think, like, you know, he said that they can do Earn by Time and then get their AR up quicker. And that's not the case.
Nope.
No.
Yeah. However, I got to say, so Tony knows my zone. And my zone is weird. It goes all the way, Gary, you know, my house, like all the way to the airport. Like my zone covers that from my house. I mean, that's a big zone. That's a big zone. So I see, you know me, I'm a 14%er. I'm a bottom feeder. and I gotta tell you, all I see are those long ones. However, I don't think that it's immune to think that a top dasher or an emerald or platinum or diamond or whatever the crap they're calling it this week, dasher is not seeing any long ones.
No, you're definitely seeing them, 100%. Not as often, but you're definitely seeing them.
It's like, no, I don't.
You don't ever see them?
No, very rare.
Do you think that people who aren't top dashers in your area don't see them? Or do see them and you're not?
I'm sure they do. In my area, like I typically, and I'm normally top dasher, except for this month I'm not. But like I normally go from one section to another section. And then like I will get that rare occasion one that sends me down south and I decline it. And then I go back and I take, you know, a 2-3 mile one. Yeah. But it is market dependent, though. Now, my market is really huge. Like, mine's probably bigger than yours, Steve, because mine goes from, I know you guys don't know the area, but mine goes like 28 miles, 30 miles north to another 20 miles south or so.
I think Gary missed the joke there.
Yeah. What was the joke?
Never mind. Oh,
gotcha. How far are we talking, though, to clarify when we say a long distance order? What are we saying here? Like what's the
15 miles plus?
15 plus. I rarely see those. And if I do, it's from Boston and I decline them. Just like you, I'll decline them and then just get a regular order, but I rarely see them.
Yeah,
but it's as top dasher.
It's that it's 20 miles away. They want me to pick up McDonald's here, take it 20 miles, and there's a McDonald's a half a mile from the hotel.
That's because you're a bottom feeder, Steve.
I know that, dude.
I definitely think if you're not top dasher, you definitely see those orders more, 100%.
Oh, I can tell you for a fact you do. I only go out a couple times a week.
Those orders keep Gary in business.
Honestly, I rarely decline orders on DoorDash. I usually typically get good enough orders where I don't want to decline them.
Yeah, if you're a platinum dasher or a top dasher with diamond zone or whatever, you're gonna get better offers up in that tier than if you was at 14%.
I definitely agree with that, and I see it all the time. That's why I always keep platinum and top dasher.
Yeah, exactly. Which I actually have a strange bug going on. I'm not top dasher this month. I didn't even try for it, but I can still dash now.
That's a good bug to have.
That is a good bug to have.
So Eric Bear, I mean, Ellen does it too in Vegas, in the corrupt Rico City. I mean, I'm sure there's a couple people lurking who do EBT who are listening and have their own thing and saying like, no, I like EBT. I mean, I think that look at UDMs. Wait till the mad dasher gets the tears, he'll lose his mind.
I've only known the tears.
He hadn't had anything but the tears.
Yeah, I've never had it. The first week of doing DoorDash, I worked so much, I got platinum, and I haven't lost it since.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's been, UDM, he's been doing it for 3 months.
Yeah, he makes sure he gets his 4 deliveries a day that apparently part-timers don't do.
I mean, you have to adapt, right? So like whatever works for you in your market, if EBT works and you're making a decent average, then do you. You know, I'm not saying otherwise, but in my experience, I've tried everything and it is the lowest paying scale out of any way that you can do gig work or DoorDash specifically. I honestly think multi-apping is 100% the way to do it. I average minimum $25 an hour multi-apping, and sometimes I get $40+ an hour. But EBT, you're talking 15, 16, 17, and 11, that's if you're in a good
Austin
market.
And just so everybody's familiar, Austin isn't cheap. It's very expensive.
And just to be clear, we've always promoted multi-apping for the last 4 years on this channel.
Yeah.
It's always the best.
For the last 4 years, Steve has been promoting not DoorDash on this channel.
No, only for the past couple.
Not Instacart.
For the past 4 years, I've been saying no Instacart ever. Come on.
Really? I've been making good money with Instacart, to be honest.
Instacart's had a little bit of a shift. I think we've all seen that, and there's a reason for that. That would be a whole nother subject that we probably don't want to dive into because it would keep us. But bottom line is there's a lot of illegal accounts. I'm not pegging it to any specific people, but there's a lot of illegal accounts now. And any of the platforms like Spark or Instacart that have major bot problems, I have a big problem with. So
I do DoorDash as my main account. And then I keep Uber Eats and Instacart just open. It's fun to just hit that X 100 times a day on Uber Eats until you get a banger. And then Instacart, if you see one, you just grab it. But I don't worry about those other two ones. The only one I worry about is DoorDash. I make enough with that. And then once in a while, I get a certified banger from Uber Eats or Instacart, and I'll pick that up.
So, wow. Tony, you used to do a lot of DoorDash. I know you did. A lot. I saw you on a video, and you normally don't even get like this. It wasn't like you were swearing or going off the bat, but I remember you saying, like, okay, DoorDash is now my bottom app. I don't care anymore. It's the worst. So how are you, we're not gonna be specific to locations or anything, but how are you breaking up your day now? To make your full gig day, like, what, you don't have to be exact, but like what makes up your days now instead of what it used to be?
I think the catering apps are my highest right now. Like, deliver that is 25% of my income this week without putting in the orders that don't have tips yet, because they don't process those tips right away. For the tip pool. So deliver that is probably the highest. If it's a busy, like playoffs, like right now is not, because we're waiting for games to start again. Like Lyft Black can boost me up.
But a primary mix of catering and rideshare.
Yeah. And then I do have DoorDash running in the background just looking for the catering only. I mean, I'm in large order program still, but.
Large order program?
Yeah, that doesn't exist anymore.
it does exist. I get catering orders every day on it. I just got to know where to find them.
Are you on Android or iPhone?
Me?
Yeah.
Samsung?
Yeah. So you can go get one of my apps and it'll help you auto decline.
I like declining. because I do DoorDash and I don't decline a lot from DoorDash. I love hitting that decline button. It's so fun for me.
You can still see it all, but at the, like Gary and I were talking about, if you're going to be doing multi-apping though, and you're going to go deeper, his apps, instead of thinking of them as filtering and stuff, think of them as safety. because it turns all the other apps you're multi-apping off when you pick one.
Yeah.
And then it turns them back on when you're done.
Yeah, like for example, if you accept the DoorDash, it'll turn off Uber and stuff for you. And then when you finish that, DoorDash turns Uber back on for you. And then like you also have like, you know, filters, of course. So like I always set my auto accept pretty high so that way I don't miss a good offer that comes in. So
right. The auto accept is like you just if like Gary said, if you set it high, that way if like you even step away for a second, it's still grab it for you.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I get wanting, but if you do get into multi-apping more, there's a, it becomes it, a.
It's also for content too, because you got to remember, I got to take screenshots of things and, you know, I'm explaining what I'm doing while I'm doing it. So it there's more to it than just wanting to hit the button, but yeah. I totally get it. If I was just doing this just because time. I would want to take full advantage of any kind of, you know, perk I could get, but I don't know. The way I'm doing it right now is fun.
Content helps.
Yes, it does.
So there's no way we're getting to the rest of these, you guys. What one thing I can say, portable benefits. I did a piece with Mike Harubi this week. So you guys can go watch that. I was going to kind of go through it briefly, but you guys can go watch that because we go through it in depth. And it was, you know, it was basically like portable benefits or portable deficit. And that was Mike. And Mike is... we really went through it. It's a bad idea.
Oh, I think Tony's showing off another feature, the screenshot feature.
Yeah, Maximo screenshot every single trip from every.
I don't want to go through that amount of screenshots like, later, dude. That's not. You know how much time that would add on to my editing? No way.
Wait a second.
But also, I'm gonna put some links to some articles because they're articles you should check out. Like the Instacart is the shares slumping because of Amazon now launching grocery, not just Whole Foods, but like Kroger, Safeway, all that for $9.99 a month or $99 a year through Amazon. You get it for free. You get in-store prices and you get your groceries delivered in 1 hour in-store prices. The orders just have to be over $35. That's it.
I'm seeing in one Stop and Shop and stuff too, and they still are on Instacart, but they're still. I see people shopping all the time for people.
No, yeah, this is through Amazon.
Oh, through Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon is stepping away from just Whole Foods, and now they're tackling it. And I mean, I don't know. Gary and I talked about it earlier this week. If it goes as planned, and if anybody can pull this off, it's Amazon.
Yeah,
I think that's the nail in the coffin for. It ain't going to say the caper card ain't going to save Instacart on this one. I mean, it just won't. I mean, cause there's you have such a base of people who have Amazon already.
Yeah.
To just add that is easy. And if once people understand it, they'll absolutely add it. Cause Instacart upcharges every item. They upcharge the sale. We know how sketchy they are because they say, do not put the receipt in the bag.
For which one, DoorDash or Instacart?
Instacart.
But you got to take a photo of it, though.
Yeah, but the customer doesn't get it.
Give it to the customer. The customer is not.
It does give it to the customer.
No,
you're not supposed to give it to Instacart.
No, I know, but I read on the thing that it sends it to the customer like a digital copy.
The customer doesn't get a digital copy of the receipt. The customer just gets.
You get a breakdown.
Because I've purchased on Instacart once to do a video. And you just see what you placed.
It's itemized. You don't see the actual photo.
And you don't see the price that's in store. You see the price that's on the Instacart app.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you'd have to be doing homework after the fact.
Turn off that.
What is he showing now?
Still Maximo stuff.
I'm really trying to see what it
also
is.
While Tony's pulling it up, city council in Seattle is going to be removing that stupid pay rule, which I'm glad about. And Uber and Lyft just went in the toilet for robo-taxis. Finally. I mean, like I love how Uber has been in ride or in autonomous 7 times before it's real.
Imagine they just keep trying and trying and trying.
Well, not anymore.
That camera button there that takes a screenshot for you when you tap it. so you don't have to click the two side buttons.
He's trying to sell you hard.
Tony, Gary
should be a salesman, not a gig worker.
He's one of my biggest supporters. between him and Josh, man, I got it made.
But yeah, there's no way we're getting any farther. I don't know. I appreciate everybody for joining us this week, and Kim will be better and she'll be back next week. Again, so, thank you to everybody on this awesome panel. Make sure to check out all their channels, by the way. They'll all be in the show notes. And thank you for joining us live or watching on the replay. And until next week, be safe, earn smart. And I got two ways to close it.
I was waiting for it.
And don't be a dick.